morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Steve Williamson here. We're returning to a topic that we haven't taken up in a while, and that is Donald Trump. And guess who's sitting across from me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right here. My cousin, Tino. This is not a favorite topic. I don't find anything entertaining or funny. This is scary, folks. This topic bothers me, but I'm happy to talk about it with right here on Democratic Perspective, because it's what we do.
And we have a special treat for everyone. Silent Gary is going to call in at the end of the show.
That's right.
A list of hopefully new Trump lies, because if he does just Trump lies, Mike, it's going to go on for hours, and the show's only 45 minutes long.
Well, that's why you made him call the last 15 minutes, so you said.
I have squeezed him into the last 15 minutes, so he's only got 15 minutes of Trump lies at the end of the show. Hopefully it's an updated and curiously interesting group of lies. So, Mike, you want to take it from here?
Absolutely. Don't forget, when it comes to Trump lies, Google's not your friend. The search engines aren't your friend. He's got an army, just like the Russians, just like the North Koreans. He's got an army of people now, finally, working the web, working the internet. And they are all experts at search engine optimization. So if you put something in like, is Trump crazy? Trump's unfitness for office. You get things like the Sean Hannity show. You know,
That's been true for a while. The conservatives really hit the internet really hard. And so a lot of times when you do any kind of search that's political, you end up with the conservative sites first.
No, unless you are a librarian you don't have to be a librarian, but as long as you pay for a service, if you have LexisNexis or a ProQuest or a Congressional Quarterly, something that you pay for that these guys can't get to, then those, as far as I'm sure, Pew Research, Brookings Institute. These are trusted sources that still are not subject to the
even the New York Times and Washington Post. Now you have to pay to be able to access most of their stories. You can get some free stories. Wall Street Journal occasionally you'll get a free story, but they're all behind a wall of to make money, and they have to do that because of the decline in printed media.
And let's put this in context. We're not just talking about lies here. We're talking about a liar that is lying his way into nuclear war. We're talking about millions of people dead. We're talking about, and this is every day. We're talking about a liar that is lying his way into cutting off health care for millions of, thereby effectively killing and not serving and causing suffering of millions of Americans. So we're not talking about a liar that lies for political gain
What he's done, Mike, isn't it, is he sabotaged Obamacare now in two or three different ways. One of them is hard to explain. We'll have a whole program, hopefully, on this, of how opening Obamacare to cheapy policies from some other state is going to undercut the whole thing. Because that means that if the way Obamacare, the way Social Security and everything works, Medicare, is everybody's in.
Right.
It only works if everybody's in. Healthy people and unhealthy people. And I was talking to some people just yesterday, and it is insurance. So if you live your whole life and turn 65 or 66 or 67, collect your Social Security, and you die the next day, you don't get the money back that you put in. It's insurance.
That's right.
And Medicare is insurance. If you never get sick a day in your life, you'll have put in some money your whole life for Medicare, and your relatives and friends will get it, but you won't.
Thank you. And I think the main thing, or at least one of the main things that we want to mention on a show, a Trump show, is that his own party now in October of 2017, it's not just his critics. Trump has had plenty of critics since he entered the campaign, through the campaign, and then he gets elected. Plenty of critics from the other side. plenty of critics from overseas, plenty of critics from the mental health offices of the United States, and but his own party is criticizing him now. We're just talking about Tillerson has got to believe that taking job as Secretary of State had to be the dumbest decision he ever made. Now, he called him a moron. He did put a little adjective in front of that, which we won't go into. But that's serious stuff when your own Secretary of State, who he has been continuously undermining in his foreign policy dealings, finally said, called him what he is. Bob Corker, the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, had some choice words for Trump and nuclear war. So it's not like Democratic perspective is sitting here. These two guys that, you know, pay to be on the air of Chasm are making this stuff up. The highest offices of the Republican Party.
If you folks have ever worked for a crazy boss, a really incompetent boss, you can relate to what it's like in the administration now. They all know he's nuts. They're trying to manage him. He's got three generals trying to control what he's does. He's got all these managers to try to keep him on an even track. And he's so unstable that he jumps it three or four times. He undercuts what they do. He insults allies. And what they've tried to do, and what happens is when you get an office like this, the kind of establishment tries to get a hold of you and mold you back into some sort of, and in this case, a sort of more sensible person. And they have not been really successful. He's still wildly irrational and psychologically ill, Mike.
Well, there still are articles. Yeah, absolutely, Steve. There are still articles every month that expect him exactly what you said. They expect him to grow into the office. Expect him to finally be modified. Somebody sooner or later, it's going to be Mattis. It's going to be this. You mentioned the generals. That somebody sooner or later is going to be able to get to him. Is going to be able to control him. Going to be able to. And with that, he's going to grow into the office. He's going to realize that the things that he says undermine the thing that he said 5 minutes ago. And this kind of uncertainty.
But if it's a psychological, Mike, if he's deeply psychologically.
Oh, yeah, no, I think he's nuts. I think the guy should be removed yesterday.
Yeah, but if that's true, then he's not going to improve the way an inexperienced president arriving in the office with no political knowledge. The man is a total ignoramus when it comes to politics. He's probably really knows the hotel business backwards and forwards.
He doesn't
even bother. He referred to the president of the Virgin Islands.
That's right.
And the president of the Virgin Islands is guess who? It's the president of the United States because it's American territory. There is no president of the Virgin Islands. And these are little mistakes, but these little mistakes are what we call revelatory of his lack of knowledge of basic politics. Now I want to read one thing and then we'll go on. And that's from Paul Krugman. And I like Paul Krugman's writing and work and his economics and stuff. And
Nobel Prize winner, by the way.
Yeah, Nobel Prize winner. The question I have, here's what Paul Krugman says. Why does Trump keep repeating what he knows to be a flat out lie? Why does he keep doing that? And Krugman says something I haven't heard anybody else say. I suspect it's a power thing. He enjoys showing that he can lie repeatedly through his teeth, get caught red-handed in his lie again and again, and his followers will still believe him rather than the fake news. What do you think?
I agree wholeheartedly. And think about that for a minute. Think about a person that does this. Think about a person with so little conscience. And this is what we're worried about, folks. We're not worried about, we're worried about lots of things, but the part of what keeps me awake at night and what wakes me up at 4 o'clock in the morning, he doesn't care about your son or daughter who he has control of their lives. He doesn't care that millions of Koreans, South Koreans will die if we go to war with North Korea.
Well, even hundreds and hundreds of thousands of North Koreans would die. And they're encapsulated in this horrible regime, but they're still people and they're still, you know, caught up in a system they don't control. And it would take a massive amount of killing to do anything with the North Korean regime. At least that's the thinking about it.
Well, he's perfectly willing to play this kind of mentality. He's perfectly willing. Those lives mean nothing. American lives mean nothing to him.
He's an extremely destructive person. And his sabotage of Obamacare is really going to hurt people. And yet, when Congress didn't do what he wanted, because what he wanted was really preposterously bad, and look, for 7 years, Mike, 7 years, Republicans talked about how bad Obamacare was, and when they had a chance to replace it, they had no good alternative.
That's right.
Now, the reason they don't have a good alternative is that the structure of Obamacare is a conservative structure originally come up with by a right-wing think tank. If it had been single-payer or British socialist stuff, then the Republicans would have had an alternative. But their alternative probably would have been something that looks like Obamacare.
That's right. And that's why they couldn't come up with
anything. So he's destroying, when he doesn't get his way, he destroys things. He destroyed look, how many years did it take? I think 8 or 9 years to negotiate the agreement on climate change. Every country in the world except, Nicaragua and somewhere else, signed on to it, and he left the agreement. Yeah. Now he's destroying the Iran agreement. The generals and stuff, I guess, have got him to take a step toward destroying it, but to stop a little bit short of actually finishing it off. But look, if Iran breaks the agreement, or we break the agreement with Iran, that'll be a public break of the United States' word and signature. No one will trust us, or at least it'll really undercut our trust. It's almost like a bouncing ball, those things that swing around and bash things. And that's what you've got in the White House, and you've got all these people who are spending all their time trying to control him. And they're all really conservative right-wing guys, and they still can't get him under control. Yeah. This is a really serious problem. It's not a problem. When he's in New York, and I was in New York for a while, he's like a interesting joke, you know. But right. Now he's president. It's a different thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Go ahead.
So you want to talk about the 25th Amendment?
Yeah, right? So the question comes after we, you know, for 11 minutes now, 12 minutes, we laid out the case against Trump. There's been plenty of other cases, by the way, against Trump. If you want to, you know, Matt Taibbi, lots and lots of articles written on Trump's madness, as far as we're talking, madness. So how do we get rid of him? The two ways that everybody's familiar with.
Well, what's the basis of getting rid of him? Is it his psychological instability? Is he a narcissistic personality disorder? What, Mike, what's the basis?
Unfitness for office. I mean, it's, so in impeachment, a guy that harms his, that's words out of his mouth bring us to nuclear war or harm millions of Americans by denying them health care. Lie about tax cuts at every, you know, that $4 out of every $5 in the tax cut are going to go to rich people. And he keeps saying it's so we're talking about a basic unfitness for office. Unfitness, as far as I'm concerned, unfitness to walk free among even New Yorkers.
Decided by the Congress.
This guy shouldn't be allowed to walk around New York City. That's how nuts he is.
All right. So, but impeachment is decided by the Congress, and for Republicans to impeach their president, which they would have to do because they have the votes, that's a real reach, Mike.
Well, I want to talk about the 25th Amendment first. An article in the LA Times yesterday by Doyle McManus said, if you think the 25th Amendment's going to save us, you're wrong. It's just not. And a lot of liberals and a lot of Republicans, for that matter, think that between impeachment and the 25th Amendment, there's a way to get rid of Donald Trump. It's a lot harder than it seems. I want to quote what we already said, that Bob Corker, Foreign Relations Committee, we could be heading toward World War III with the kind of comments he's making. And, of course, Tillerson's calling him a moron. So it's not surprising, according to McManus, that speculation has renewed that Congress might try to remove Trump before his term of office ends. And according to the Steve Bannon, the former, he even warned Trump that he risks being fired by the 25th Amendment of the Constitution. And, of course, Trump said, what's that? I never heard of that. So if Congress isn't happy with the president's job performance, it doesn't need to remove him. It has many ways to restrain his actions. Like Trump, most Americans are familiar with impeachment, not the 25th Amendment. And according to the National Constitution Center, it's easier to impeach than invoke the 25th Amendment. Remember, this thing was ratified in 1967 after Kennedy and the whole Kennedy-Johnson thing, that if somebody is medically unfit for, had Kennedy lived, you know, there was brain damage, he would not have been.
Well, I think that, you know, the psychologists and psychiatrists are very reluctant to publicly diagnose Donald Trump.
No, they're not. I can show you hundreds of them on the internet.
Many of them, but I don't think there's a lack. The only argument, I think, in the psychological community is exactly what kind of medical mental disorders the man has.
Section 4 of the amendment provides that if the vice president and a majority of the cabinet decide that the president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, they can notify Congress that the vice president is taking over. If the president objects, Congress can vote on the question. A two-thirds majority in each house is required to remove the president from office. There are two reasons that mechanism isn't likely to be used against Trump. The reason for the amendment was drafted was, like we said before, is medical incapacity in mind, not general unfitness or mental incapacity. Now, as far as I'm concerned, and as far as the ACA is concerned, by as far as Obamacare is concerned, mental health and physical health.
But I think, Mike, you know, most people know about the vice president. If they know about the amendment at all, know about the vice president and cabinet removing the president for a cause. But what they don't know about is that it has to be ratified by two-thirds of the majority of the Senate and the House. People don't know that. So they think is that why they think it's an easier mechanism?
Yeah, that's why. And the problem, of course, it all has to be done in 21 days. And if not, then the president stays in office. The president, so where he can be removed, the Congress has to do this. The procedural obstacles, McManus says, are real and immediate. The amendment is deliberately difficult to use. The first step is the vice president and the cabinet decide the president needs to go, but they all got their jobs when Trump appointed them, remember? And winning two-thirds majority in each house of Congress is virtually an obstacle, at least as long as at least one House Republican, as long as the Republicans still have a House majority. Any action to remove the president is politically traumatic. Congressional scholar Norman O'Meisten says any action they will take creates a deep, deep division in their party. They're going to avoid it as long as they can. It doesn't stop me from sending faxes to Jeff Flake, our senator, from John McCain, our senator, and to Paul Gosar, who's my representative in the House,
one
not
of
yours.
One of the most quacko members of the House. Paul Gosar, if you're in his district, we're in Tom O'Halloran's district here in Sedona. Paul Gosar is a real wacko filled with horrible right-wing conspiracy theories. His own brother has denounced him, the stuff he said. It's horrible stuff. He's a guy who refused to listen to the Pope's speech because he claimed the Pope was some kind of communist. The guy is a really, really bad, bad congressperson. Okay, Mike, so if that won't work and impeachment won't work, then generals kind of controlling the guy and trying to stabilize him. What else can we do?
Resign. I mean, he's got to be convinced to resign.
Okay.
That's
interesting point. Now, how do you do that? What would you do, theoretically, I'm talking about, to try to get him to resign? Because what they're saying is he's getting more and more unstable and wilder, and they're putting more and more controls on him to keep him in place.
Right.
But, you know, how do you get him to resign? And you just make him miserable or?
Yes. Well, I don't know. You're asking.
I'm just asking, theoretically, Mike. Well, I'm not asking you to have a real answer on this.
How to treat a child, I don't know. Yeah, don't control them. But you have, well, that's it. You have people afraid for the fate of, going back to those millions of people. So they're afraid not to control them. I think if he was uncontrolled, he'd be out of office by now. So the other way to get him to resign is to convince him it's not fun anymore, mm-hmm. that people don't like him. I think a few million people in the streets. This is my answer. It worked in South Korea. It's worked with chief executives in recent times. We don't have to go back to the 30s. It's worked in recent times. So I think simply a few million people in the streets of Washington or in the capitals of the U.S. Could convince him to get out.
I think it's astonishing that we have a man, as Krugman said, who enjoys lying and putting one over. I mean, his whole career in New York was based on being able to tell a lie and sort of what the Israelis call create facts. In other words, if you can convince enough people that your building is where it's at and gorgeous, it doesn't matter whether it's a piece of crap or not. I mean, if you can convince people. So we have someone who enjoys lying and putting it on. He spent his entire career as a flim-flam man.
And let me show, while he's doing all this, while he's got people talking about his lies and Gary making lists and things.
Gary's going to keep the list very short, Mike, because we do not have 8 hours to go through them. And I think the list has grown quite a bit since we talked about it months ago.
But this is why he's doing all the lies, at least some people think. And he's lying so he could keep everybody's attention off the Republican agenda. The name of the show is Democratic Perspective. The reason we do this show is because the Republican Party in recent years has become the greatest enemy of the American people that we have ever seen on any soil. We're talking about cutting $1 trillion out of Medicaid. This is what the Republican Party has done since they've been in office.
So you think the rhetoric about people will die with this breakdown of Medicaid and Obamacare insurance is not just rhetoric? You think people will die?
I know people will die. I know people will die. People will be denied heart transplants. People will be denied liver transplants. People will be denied kidney transplants. And they'll be denied health care. The idea of going, you say, well, and nobody's denied health care. All you got to do is go to the emergency room. And boy, you better be, I hope you can live 8 hours or come back tomorrow when they, you know. So we're talking about $1 trillion out of Medicare, $473 billion. Out of Medicare, $1 trillion out of Medicaid. We're talking about $37 billion cuts in affordable housing, $100 billion from Pell Grants.
They always go after the poor first.
Well, in some ways, the Pell Grants are the you talk about shooting yourself in the foot. Quoting Al Franken here, Pell Grants used to pay somewhere around 80%. You know, if you're going to a community college, you're going to NAU, you're going somewhere, not Harvard or Yale. But a Pell Grant could pay 80% of your college. Now it's down around 30%. And I'm talking community college. Cutting $100 billion out of Pell Grants. Cutting Head Start by $3 billion. And we're talking about denying the WIC program, the Women and Children Food Program, Milk Program.
They go after the poor, Mike. Every time, because the poor can't defend themselves.
Yeah,
they're
but
not
I,
as organized.
I want to list the atrocities. I want to say he's denied. We're talking about WIC has kept women and children going in this country for 50 years, and he's cut that by $3 billion. $1.25 million. On and on. The Puerto Rican thing. This attitude toward Puerto Rico, it would be this whole Shakespearean thing is beyond explanation. So
the other thing is that we should mention, if we can't really have time today to go into it, is there's Trump and his antics and the craziness and the destructiveness, the way he bounces from one piece of destruction to another. inside the government. But there's also the Republican agenda. And we're getting the same lies that have been disproven many, many times. And Trump repeats over and over again, America is the most highly taxed country in the world. It's false. It's a lie. It's easily proven to be a lie if you're interested in information. They're going after the estate tax. The estate tax affects maybe, they're talking about truckers and farmers. The estate tax affects, they think, maybe two or three truckers in the United States. It's all thing. Some of the horrible things, taxation pass through and so forth. We could go down the whole list, but underneath the Trump's craziness, the Republicans have ideas that have been disproven. The whole Laffer curve things, where if you cut taxes enough on the rich, everybody will benefit. It's been disproven over and over again. It doesn't work. It's not true. And they're going to do it again because why? Because that's who their supporters are.
The estate tax.
Koch brothers want it. And the Koch brothers, I don't think, are that much interested in money, but the Koch brothers' friends are.
The estate tax, 0.2%, 0.2% of the top 1% is all it might affect. And the idea, even the millionaires now are online saying all over the place, you know, inherited wealth isn't making money. Trump's talking about denying these families. He said it's not doing that. They don't need $1 million. I don't need a tax cut. He said, if I get a tax cut, I'm going to put it in the stock market. Nobody's going to benefit from that. But I wanted to say this. I just said a whole bunch of things about, we're talking about Trump here. The White House switchboard number is 202-555-1212. 202-555-1212. Don't forget, the people answering that phone are minimum wage employees. Be nice to them. No matter what you have to say about the White House and its decisions and its madman in charge.
The taxation program is completely phony. It's going to benefit the wealthy. Anybody who can do basic economic analysis, who wants to know what it's going to do, can take a look at it. It is not going to benefit the middle class. What they do is, most of the benefits go to the very wealthy, and then they'll give some benefits to the middle class in certain states, which will soften up the blow and make it seem like something is happening. So the percentage and the amount of money, and there are other things like that we could talk about, like the pastor. These are, a lot of these things are technical, but the actual thing, we're having another Republican tax cut to benefit the wealthy. That's really all it is. I mean, it's, I don't know, Mike. It's sort of like, almost like a record or something. If they play it over and over again, and they never change it, and it's never true, and yet there we go.
We've got to go out in the streets. I don't have any answers, Steve, but I do have a phone number. If you just want to leave a comment, 202-456-1111. If you just want to leave a comment, you don't have to interact with anyone. You just want to leave a comment for the president.
Is there an area code, Mike?
202-456-1111 is the comment number. 202-555-1212 is the White House switchboard. The tax cut, boil it down to this. $4 out of $5 go to the rich. 80% of the tax cuts go to the rich. All you're going to hear in the next few days, as Steve has been trying to tell you, you're going to hear about the 20% that they're going to fool around maybe in the middle class. And I think poor people don't get anything out of this, by the way.
No, they'll get, not only won't they get anything, they'll actually be hurt by all of this stuff. Cutting taxes will jumpstart rapid growth. Not true. Tax cuts will pay for themselves. This is, if you had to pick the giant economic lie, it's that tax cuts will pay for themselves. They have never, ever, they can't come up with an actual instance where this is hurt. It is true that if we were taxing the rich at, you know, we're taking 98% of their income or something, then a tax cut might stimulate some investment. But it's not true. It's not true on the state level. It's not true on a national level.
Look at Kansas. Look at Arizona. These are places that have cut taxes, And no, it hasn't stimulated, but the businesses haven't flocked here. Businesses won't come here because of our schools. It's that simple. Because we cut taxes so much, the schools have suffered and suffered immensely.
We should make some announcements at this point, because I'm afraid that Silent Gary is going to call in and not talk to us. Dorr has a breakfast, Mike, Thursday. And they have all the candidates for state senate and state representative in Arizona. And people, we keep repeating this, folks, because it's not true in many states. And if you come from out of state, the Senate, state senators and the state representatives represent exactly the same district, exactly the same geographical boundary. There's one state senator and two representatives. The Democratic candidates will be there on Thursday's door breakfast. We'll be interviewing them afterwards, and we'll have the show. We're scheduled out now several weeks, so it'll be a few weeks before we have them on the air. Next week is Nancy McLean, who's done some really, really interesting research, and I guess on how the whole Koch brothers and these sort of conspiratorial right-wing pseudo think tanks and organizations, front groups got developed.
We want to thank Steve Segner and El Portal for their support. And
then on the 30th, we're going to have Steve Segner here, and we'll be talking about a new PAC. And both Mike and I are involved in it. And the idea of the PAC is to defeat our really crazy state representative and senator. Mike, do we have other announcements? We want to thank everyone, before we put on Silent Gary, not to talk. For their support, our fundraiser was very successful. We're very happy. We're hoping to do some more original and new stuff, some more investigative reporting, Mike. What else before we put on Silent Gary?
Let's go to Gary.
Oh, we need our hippie ear.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. All right, here we go.
Gary, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Gary.
Hola,
he's
senor.
Quiet, you know, and that makes sense, being Silent Gary.
Yeah. So what is going on, man? Tell us about Trump.
Well, you were talking about me having a short list. You guys have covered pretty much everything. I only have a couple of things to add.
How long is the list of lies now, Gary?
Well, the Washington Post list, they've been tracking it just since he's been president, just since the inauguration, and it's now at 1,300 lies and counting.
1,300.
That's why we don't want you to give the whole list, Gary. We're sorry. We're not giving you enough time to do the whole list.
That's over 100 lies a month.
Yeah.
I only have a couple of things to add to what you guys have. I think you've brilliantly summed up the issues, but I'd like to just mention a couple of things. First of all, I think you might want to think of Trump as Harvey Weinstein without the charm.
with a very limited talent, too.
There's at least 12 women that have accused him of sexual assault. There's a lawsuit pending, and we may soon see the outtakes from The Apprentice with all of his racist and misogynistic comments. So,
where would that come out, Gary? Where would that come out?
When?
Where? I mean, who's doing that?
Well, it's one of the women that is suing him, and she's subpoenaed the tapes. When and where, I'm not exactly sure, but it sounds like it could be soon.
Because it's being released basically because of a lawsuit. They're going to have to produce some of this stuff, right?
Right, right. A couple of other things I'd point out is, I didn't hear you cover Bob Corker's comment about the adult daycare center, the White House West Wing being the adult daycare center, which I thought was one of the great comments.
It really was.
It is a
comment.
Good comment. I think that really is the situation. You've got a lot of guys trying to keep this fellow on some sort of steady course and I don't know, modify some of his crazier ideas. That's an unstable situation, don't you think, Gary?
Absolutely. It's more and more, like this morning, Robert Rice had published an article that he had talked to some Republican friends of his that are close to the White House, and he kind of reiterates what's been said, that it's sort of like a daycare center where everyone's just trying to walk on eggshells and trying to prevent Trump from doing anything really disastrous.
He's certainly a vindictive, the destruction of Obamacare because he didn't get a replacement. I mean, deliberate destruction of it, of people's medical insurance. That kind of vindictiveness, the vindictiveness against Iran, who we had a stable agreement with. I think it was one thing I was going to quote, Gary, that I get around to, is just that there's a thing in the DEA called the Diversion Control of the Drug Enforcement Administration. And so what happened is that a tremendous amount of opioids got diverted. And Trump's appointment to it is a man named Tom Marino, who is a congressman from
Pennsylvania.
Who's been behind preventing the DEA from investigating this stuff. That's like Pruitt is a tool of the oil and gas industries from my native state. But where does this end? I guess Mike and I don't know.
Well, I don't think anybody does. I think the word to keep in mind is through all of this is cacistocracy. The Spanish term caca.
Yeah, I've seen that word.
Yeah.
That's what describes the Trump presidency and administration. The word is cacistocracy is defined as a government by the worst and least qualified. And I don't think anything better describes what's going on.
What's your take on Mike's information about the 25th Amendment, some of which was actually new to me?
I thought it was well stated. It sounds like it may be, impeachment may be a ways off. Republican Congress seems only interested in getting their tax cuts through, and they're not going to do anything, if at all. They're not going to do anything until after they get they ran through the legislation and get them to sign it. So,
well, according to Robert Rice, you're exactly right, Gary. That with a conversation he has with his unnamed Republican friend that he publishes sometimes and has that conversation. And it's Roberts asking him, why are they putting, you got his own party criticizing him. They said, well, they're just waiting. They believe that the only thing, as far as I'm concerned, that it's going to save the Republican Party is getting this tax cut through. I've seen articles that, of course, that I like that say, is Trump the last Republican president? He's going to cause so much damage. I saw another wonderful article that said that the Republicans are hoping the Democrats take over the House so we can solve their problem for them. Go ahead.
It's been the case. I would have thought that Bush might have been the last Republican president based on what he did to the economy and the false lead up to the war in Iraq. But here we are, 8 years later. We have somebody way, way worse.
Well, I think that just shows, as we've talked about on here before, and then you know well, that when you control the media, when you have Fox News, and you have people made crazy, and Sinclair owns all of these news outlets in Pennsylvania and all over the Mideast, when you control the media that much, then and I think that's why we're seeing this bumper crop of lies. And then boom, we elect the master of lying, and here we are.
I think that's a good point. I mean, we have a system of lies and distortions built up by people like Fox News and Rush Limbaugh and the whole rest of the pretty evil crew out there, and then we end up with a super liar as president. I don't think it's an accident. Do you, Gary?
No, No, this has been coming since the 70s. It's really began with the Southern strategy, and it's just continued and continued ever since.
What's the most important recent lie of Trump? Because as you say, I don't even think the 1,300 lies that they've counted is comprehensive. What is the most significant lies of the last few weeks that Donald Trump has told to the American people?
Well, I think the most significant is, the most significant statement isn't even a lie. It's his tweets about dear leader in North Korea that, it's one dear leader to another. And I think that's putting us on track for something potentially horrifying for the world. And it's not even a lie. North Korea is a renegade nation, but Trump is quickly turning ours into one as well.
Yes, a rogue state. I'm looking at that book that I want to talk about on the air someday. But Tillerson said yesterday, and this is the kind of telling comment, he said, we will negotiate with North Korea until the first bomb falls. And that was a sobering statement made by the Secretary of State, saying, that indicates that it's getting that bad on the other side, that somebody's talking about dropping bombs. I mean, don't forget, this maniac on our side, the madman in our capital, has the codes. He has the codes in his pocket.
But even if he didn't use those, a war with North Korea would result in, I think, hundreds of thousands of casualties. And even if they're mostly on the North Korean side, that's still almost a war crime to kill all those people who can't. They don't really know what's going on. Their government absolutely controls everything they hear. So you think the most significant thing, Gary, is his kind of talking up a war with North Korea?
Yeah, and potentially with Iran. The thing to keep in mind with North Korea is that most of the North Korean millions of infantry and soldiers are stationed, within 50 miles of the border. And the border is like less than 50 miles from Seoul. They have artillery all across and rocket launchers all across the border. So, it's not like anything we've ever faced before. And they keep counting on our missile defense system. But so far that's not proven to catch any more than about 90% of the missiles launched against us. So that's not a surefire statement either.
Well, Silent Gary has not been silent, but we've run out of time. I mean, I deliberately put him at the end of the show, Mike and I did, because we figured too many lies. I mean, we'd be listening to this guy from Minnesota for 8 hours,
Well, I'd like to end with one last thing is check out the book Sociopath Next Door. If you really want to understand Trump, that book will explain him perfectly.
I agree.
It's not
specifically
about him, but
I agree wholeheartedly. You have to understand sociopathology to understand Trump.
I do want to thank our supporters, our contributors, our listeners again. They were very generous. We had a successful fundraiser. We have the money to stay on the air, which is always a little scary for
which
us.
Which is good or bad, depending
I'd
on
I'd like
you.
To thank sort of unsung people like Bill Timmerman and Dick Searle,
yes,
who
absolutely.
Have contributed to Democratic's Perspective year after year, 6 years now. Those guys have contributed to Democratic Perspective. And Dave Brushwood and John O'Donnell. And there's too many to
Cactus
to
Cake.
Thank. Cactus Kate.
Well,
thank you,
don't
Cactus
forget,
Kate.
Cactus Kate.
We appreciate
Kate
the
Woods,
donation.
By the way. She has a real name. If you go to the website, bvid.org, you will see the fine notes written by William Timberman on every show. Bvid.org has our podcasts and has wonderful summaries of our show's Democratic Perspective. Thank you, folks.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news and our Saturday replay after the noon news right here on AM 780 KAZN. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.